Well, we are in Missions Month, and we've been hearing some wonderful testimonies of God's call on people's life. Answering God's call for your life. I received Jesus Christ as my Savior on August 26th, 1970. And within a few short weeks after asking Christ into my life, I was off again up to Penn State University. Boo. I am sorry. I actually was rooting for the Buckeyes last night, but went to bed at halftime. But, sorry. But we were back up at Penn State, and I'd already scheduled to live in the fraternity where I was a member. So I was back in my fraternity. And at that time, I started to attend on a regular basis Campus Crusade for Christ meetings. And I got involved in actually a Bible study, a discipleship group that met weekly. But I was kind of, I was a new Christian, trying to get my feet on the ground. And actually, I had 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in my new Christian faith. 1 foot at the fraternity, and 1 foot in Campus Crusade for Christ. And I kind of was living like that for about 8 months, and it was in the spring of the following year that a group of students was going to go from Penn State down to Fort Lauderdale, and they announced it, and I thought, boy, that sounds like fun. Spring break, down in Fort Lauderdale. I think I'll sign up for that trip. And so I signed up to go on what was called Operation Fort Lauderdale. And the goal was to go down, and these group of students, there were 40 of us from Penn State. We were going to meet up with students from all around the world. And the goal was to go out on the beaches and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the kids that were down there on spring break. So, we left on a bus from State College, traveling down to Fort Lauderdale. Well, it was somewhere in Georgia. It was night. I remember waking up, and most of the other kids were asleep, I think. And I looked out the window into the starry sky, and I asked myself a question. I said, what in the world am I doing here? I'm on a bus going down to Fort Lauderdale, and I'm going to have to go out on the beach and share Jesus Christ. Oh my. And then I said this to God. I said, God, I know I haven't been following you with all my heart. I know, Lord, I have tried to have 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in my faith. And I'm sorry. And Lord, if you can use me this week, I give you my life. And that week was a game changer in my life. I saw the Lord fill me with His Spirit, and I actually saw God use me to lead others to faith in Christ. I mean, it was, I can't describe it. I ate, drank, and slept the gospel that week. I dreamt at night about going out on the beach and witnessing for Christ. And again, it was one night, sometime during that week, in the middle of the night, I woke up and I heard these words. You are going to be doing this the rest of your life. Now again, the people in the room that were with me, I'm sure they didn't hear, it was an inaudible voice. But boy, it was loud. You are going to be doing this the rest of your life. And I know that's kind of nebulous, but I knew what God was saying to me. He was saying, this is my call on your life, and you are going to go in to full-time Christian ministry. If you would have asked me on the way down on that bus, Les, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? You know what I told you? I'm going to be a mechanical engineer. I'm going to be a mechanical engineer. I put 3 years of college. I've taken all the hard courses, calculus, differential equations, thermodynamics, all the hard courses. I had all the hard courses out of the way. I'm going to be a mechanical engineer. It's downhill from here. But you know what? On the way going home on that bus, if you had asked me, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? I would have told you, I am going to serve the Lord full-time in vocational Christian ministry. I didn't know what that was at that time. It wasn't clear. I thought it was go on Campus Crusade for Christ staff. And that wasn't where God put me. And then Linda and I got married and we got involved in a church and led a youth group in a church. And I thought, that's it. I'm going to be a youth pastor. In fact, I told Linda when we went to seminary, we're going to go for 1 year and I'm going to take the youth pastor course and we'll be there 1 year. And we ended up there 4 years. And immediately I started taking the MDiv courses. And God called me into pastoral ministry. But I'm going to tell you, I heard his call. You are going to be doing this the rest of your life. You know, God has a call. He has a call for every one of us. And we've been looking in the Bible at some calls. And this morning, he called me. You know, I was 20 years old. Now I'm about 39. But it was at 20 years old. Down at spring break in Fort Lauderdale, that he said, you are going to be doing this the rest of your life. Called me at 20. We're going to take a look at this morning at another young person whom God called into ministry. So I want you to open your Bibles up to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah. And folks, open your Bible. If you don't know where it is, to the middle, that's probably the book of Psalms. Turn right 5 books. And that's the book of Jeremiah. And this morning, we want to look at Jeremiah, and we're going to read Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 10, and the call of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were at Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the exile of Jerusalem in the 5th month. Now, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I've appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I don't know how to speak because I am a youth. Because everywhere, but the Lord said to me, do not say, I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Lord, we acknowledge that this is the sacred word of the Lord. And God, your word is powerful. Lord, open our ears and our hearts to hear your word in our lives today. And help us, God, not to just be hearers of the word, but to be doers also. We pray this in the matchless name of your Son, Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Let's just begin. Look at the call of God. The call of God. And just verses 1 through 5, just a couple of observations about the call of God. First of all, the call came by the word of the Lord. Verse 4. By the word of the Lord. Now the word of the Lord came to me. It came in a specific time. We're told it came in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah. Verse 2. Now we're not told how this word came. Had they found the word of the Lord, and was he reading God's word? Did the Lord come and speak to him by the Spirit of God and call him? We don't know, but it came by the word of the Lord. And many times, how do I find God's call for my life? How do I find what God wants me to do? He speaks to us by his word. And this is important. You know, somebody says, well, yeah, he used to speak like that. He used to speak and people heard him. But does he speak today? Oh, yes, he does. Primarily, he speaks through the word of God. Primarily. But he can speak by the Spirit too. But you know, this word is the word of God. Peter says it like this. He said, you know what? We actually heard God speak. When we were up on the mount, Peter said, we heard the word of God. This is my beloved Son. But now, we have the word of God made more sure. It's just not in an audible voice that God speaks. God has his word put down in a book. And if you want to know what God's call is for your life, a good place to start is right in the word of God. Jeremiah says, the word of the Lord came to me. And that's the second thing, observation. God's call came to him personally. Personally. Just those two words. The word of the Lord came to me. Or verse 7. But the Lord said to me. Verse 9b. And the Lord said to me. Verse 11, the word of the Lord came to me. Verse 13, the word of the Lord came to me. Do you get a pattern there? God spoke to him. To me. I'll tell you, Don, in that hotel room, Don, in Fort Lauderdale, the word of the Lord came to me. I think this is amazing. God speaks to individuals today, to people like you and me. He's speaking today. Does he still speak? Oh, yeah, he does. He does. Sometimes we get so busy and our lives get so noisy and we may not hear him, but I'm telling you, God's still speaking. Again, in his word, through his Spirit, he speaks. You remember what Jesus said? My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Are you listening to the voice of the Lord? Hebrews says, if today, if you would hear the voice of the Lord, do not harden your heart. God's speaking still today. And you know what? He speaks to us personally. I love that. Don't you love reading through God's word and things jump out at you? Do you have that experience? I'll tell you, I read the word and something, wow, where's that come from? I didn't see that before. And God still speaks. And the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart. But we've got to listen. Sometimes we've got to be still and know He's God. Let Him speak. This call came through the Word of God. It came to Him personally. And I love this. It was birthed in eternity. Did you see it there? He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Think of that. Listen to that. Before I formed you in the womb. Boy, that has a lot to say, doesn't it? God was the one that formed you and me in our mother's womb. That talks about the value of life in the womb. Amen? Amen. God formed us in the womb. That's what the psalmist in Psalm 139 said. Lord, you formed me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you know that? You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're a creation of God. Boy, that gives. I tell you. Yeah, I mean, He formed us. Before He formed you in the womb, He knew us. How could He do that? Because God's outside of time. He's at the beginning of time and at the end of time at the same time. And He knew you. And that word in the Hebrew, it talks about personal, intimate knowledge. He formed you and He knew you. God created your DNA. You are so unique. He created your DNA strands, and there's nobody in the world that's ever lived or ever will live that will have DNA like you, or fingerprints like you, or eyes like yours. He formed everything about you. He formed your personality. My, oh my. He did. Different personalities formed by the Lord. He formed your strengths, gave you strengths. And can I say this? He made our weaknesses. He made our weaknesses. He made us. But listen to this. You are designed for a purpose. You have been designed for a purpose. Now, the overall purpose is glorify God. That's what you've been designed to do. He has a big purpose. To glorify Him. And I think that doesn't the profession of faith say we've been designed to glorify God and enjoy Him forever? That's, you've been designed to glorify God, but God has a specific purpose for which you were designed. I believe that He has things for you to do that you've been designed to do that no one else could do as good as you have been designed to do. Isn't that something? You've been designed for a purpose. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says that we are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Linda and I, when we pray in the morning, often we'll pray, Lord, you created us for good works, that we should walk in them. Lord, help us to do those good works today that you have created us to do. His call was born in eternity. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before I knew you, I consecrated you. I King James says what? Sanctified you. I set you apart from common use for a special use. We have been designed for a purpose. And that call was birthed in eternity. And he calls you and me to fulfill what he created us for. It was through the Word of God. It was to him personally. It was birthed in eternity, and it was to a specific ministry. He says, I've appointed you a prophet to the nations. The word, the name Jeremiah, means appointed of Jehovah. Appointed of Jehovah. Jeremiah was from a priestly family. He lived in a priestly town. But he wasn't called to be a priest. He was called to be a prophet. And that's a whole different ministry. The priest was to represent the people to God. The prophet was to represent God to the people. The priestly ministry, it was somewhat of a routine ministry. You'd wake up in the morning, you know what you needed to do. I got to do this sacrifice, and I've got to go over and do these prayers, and maybe I have to keep the candelabra lit. And they knew what they were going to do day after day. Well, I know what I'm going to do. Prophet, you'd wake up, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Where do you want me to go, Lord? It was anything but routine. And he called them to this ministry. And again, what do we say about this? Again, I believe that every one of us, God calls. Not everybody's calls the same call. But God calls every one of us to some specific work that he wants us to do for him. He doesn't want us to just be down here and hang around and then go up to heaven. He's got something for us to do. And he called Jeremiah. Here's what I want you to do. Now, what was, secondly, the initial response to God's call? This is interesting. How did Jeremiah receive this call? First of all, he was blown away. Verse 6, alas, Lord God! Do you hear those? Alas, this is a cry, we're told, of alarm or pain. Alas, Lord God. I think this is an exclamation of, I'm overwhelmed. Whoa! Wow! You're calling me? Me? To be a prophet to the nations? You're calling me? Jeremiah wasn't seeking this call. He wasn't seeking this call. When it came, he was blown away. What if God came to you today and said, I'm calling you to be a prophet to the nations. I'm calling you. Why don't you go down and start in Washington, D.C. and go up to the White House and cry out against it. How would you feel about that? I mean, you might, I see some of you, yeah, okay, Lord. I mean, you would feel blown away. We feel, when God says, go across the street and tell your neighbor, we feel blown away. Well, Jeremiah has just been given a call. I'm going to make you a prophet to the nations. Ah, alas, Lord God. He's blown away. But then secondly, he felt inadequate. See verse 5, verse 6? He said, behold, I do not know how to speak. You're calling me to be a prophet, and what was a prophet supposed to do? Speak! Prophet was a mouthpiece, a spokesman for God. I don't know how to speak. Remember what Moses said? He said the same thing, didn't he? He said, please, Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither recently nor in times past, nor since you have spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. I can't speak. That's what Moses said. Now, Jeremiah, he's saying the same thing. I have to be honest. In my call, I'm glad the Lord didn't tell me I was going to be a pastor and a preacher. You know what I'd have said? I can't speak! That's what I would have said. I would have said, I flunked public speaking in high school. I'd have said, Lord, I can't do that. I'm afraid to get up in front of people. That's what I would have said. That's what Jeremiah said. Lord, I don't know how to speak. And then not only did he feel that inadequacy, he felt the inadequacy of age. He says, because I am a youth, King James, I'm a child. I'm a child. The word means a young person. Teenagers? He was probably a teenager. I'm a young person. I don't know how to speak well. I guess we could kind of categorize his response as humanly reluctant. Now, I thought about that. You know what's interesting? It's interesting to look at when God calls people in Scripture. And you know what you have? You have the caller, the called and the caller. You have the human and the divine. And to see the interaction there is just so interesting. But there's this interaction here, and I don't think how he responded there was bad. I mean, I don't think God doesn't say, get angry and I think, you know, God, when he calls people many times to a mission, he doesn't make the mission the size that we can handle. Now let me give you this minute. Now, you're not too hot here, so I'll give you this little mission. You know what sometimes he gives us? Here, I'm calling you to do this. Lord, I can't do that. I'm inadequate. What did Paul say? Who is sufficient for these things? Who's adequate for these things, Lord? I can't do it. That's not a bad response. I think the worst response would have been, oh, I can handle that. Because if he had said that, guess what? He couldn't handle it. So it's not bad when God calls you to feel inadequate. It's not bad to feel blown away. Oh, this is a big mission. This is a big deal. I don't know if I can do this, Lord. So how does God respond to that? The response of God to his response. I love this because it says, but the Lord said to me. The Lord said to me. Verses 7 through 17, God is responding to his initial response. And the first thing he says is, age is not an issue. Age is not an issue. Do not say, verse 7, I am a youth. Don't say that. When God calls a person, age is not an issue. It's not an issue. A former pastor of mine, his name, Dr. Bartlett Hess, he received Jesus Christ as his Savior when he was 4 years old. His mother led him to the Lord. when he was 9 years old. He was sitting in the Moody Tabernacle in Chicago. That's before they had the new Moody Church. The Moody Tabernacle in Chicago. And Paul Rader was the speaker. And after Dr. Rader spoke, he said, "Now I am going to issue a call to all the young people. All the young people. I am going to call you to become preachers and missionaries and full-time Christian workers." And as we sing this last song, if you feel God tugging on your heart, I want you to come forward. And at 9 years old, Bart felt God's call in his life. And he came forward and gave his life for full-time ministry. He told Linda and I, he said, "From that point on, 9 years old, I began to prepare my life for ministering for Christ." When we knew Dr. Hess, he had two doctorate degrees, one in history and one in theology. He ministered in the fastest growing church in Michigan. That church grew to over 10,000 people. But at 9 years old, God said, "Bart, I want you to give your life for full-time Christian service." And he responded to the call. Some of you are familiar with Dr. Vance Havner. I love to listen to that guy preach. But Dr. Havner, at an early age, child, accepted Jesus into his heart. And I think it was 14 years old, God called him to preach. And at 14, 15 years old, he started preaching in the local church. Can you imagine that? 14, 15, you're preaching in the church. He preached up into his 90s, called the boy preacher. He preached all those years. And you talk about somebody that could lay down a sermon. Man, could he do it. And I remember the last time I saw him preach, he was at Moody Pastors Conference. And he was seated, he was introduced. And he walked over to the podium. And he said, "Man, I am really glad to be here tonight. Of course, at my age, 93, I'm glad to be anywhere tonight." And then he preached. And I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit was there. You see, when God calls, he was called at 14 to preach the Word of God. Age is no issue. Don't say, I'm too young. Don't say, I'm too old. Come on, amen, some of you older, yeah. Don't say, I'm too old. Moses was 80 when he was called. Caleb at 85 said, "Give me the hill country." You see, God's call, age is not an issue. And then he says, and don't let fear keep you from answering my call. Do you see in verse 8? "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." You know what? A lot of people are afraid of God's call. People, I have talked to people that said, "You know, Pastor, I believe God called me into missions years ago, and I never got to the mission field. I was afraid." Don't let fear. The enemy will come in and say, "You can't do that. What if God calls you to be a missionary in Africa? What if God calls you to be a pastor? And you got to deal with all those people. Those sheep, those bad sheep. What if he calls you to do that? Or heaven forbid, he might call you to work with teenagers. And what are your friends going to say? What are my school friends going to say when they say, what are you going to do? Oh, I'm going to go into Christian work. What are they going to think? What's my family going to say if I leave my job and serve the Lord full time someplace because God called me to? What are they going to say? You're nuts. Do not be afraid. Don't let fear keep you from answering the call of God. That's what he says. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid of them. God says, don't be afraid to answer the call. And then he says something else. Number three, he says, I will equip you to fulfill my call. And we all know this. God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. He equips the call. He gives what we need. In verse 8, he gives encouragement. He says, for I am with you to deliver you. He promises Jeremiah the divine presence. And God's presence is a guarantee to success in mission. Whatever he calls you to do, if he's with you, you're going to succeed. And then he gives the message. Look at verse 9. Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. Did you notice that a common theme of people we've looked at? You remember Isaiah? You remember God came down and touched his mouth? Forgave his sin and gave him the message. You remember Moses said, I can't speak well. Who made your mouth, Moses? Now therefore go and I'll be with your mouth and I'll teach you what to say. And he says, listen, I'll put my message in your mouth. His hand touched my mouth. I put my words in your mouth. You know, there's some words that occur in this book over and over again. And the words, the word of the Lord came to me over 40 times in Jeremiah. God gave him the message. He gave him encouragement. He gave him the message. He gave him authority. Verse 10. See, I've appointed you this day over the nations and over kingdoms. Where do we get our authority to minister? It's from God. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Our authority comes from God. He gives, I've appointed you over the nations, he says, given you the authority. And he gives instructions in verses 11 through 17. He gave two visual aids. He gave the almond tree, saw an almond tree in a vision. Almond tree was the first tree that would blossom in the spring. And what he was saying to Jeremiah, this is not long-range prophecy. What you tell them is going to happen. It's short-range prophecy. And a boiling pot is going to come from the north and pour down on the people of Israel. And that was the Babylonians were going to come down and were going to destroy, really, Jerusalem and the people. You know, God was going to judge the nation of Israel. And so he says in verse 17, now gird up your loins and arise, speak to them all which I command you, and do not be dismayed before them, or I will dismay you before them. Just go, gird up your loins and go and tell them what I give you to tell them. So when it comes to the call of God, age is not an issue. Young people, middle-aged people, millennials, senior saints, hear God's call. Hear God's call. But I'm afraid. Don't be afraid. Because if he calls you, he will equip you to the ministry that he calls you to. Don't be afraid. Well, what's the response? The response and the outcome of the call. How did Jeremiah respond? First of all, Jeremiah heard God's call. He heard and he answered the call. His human reluctance was overcome by divine enablement. Hear my Lord, send me. I'll go. I'll tell you what, the mission, folks, was not an easy mission. It wasn't. He was to go to the nation, his own nation, which was in rebellion against God, and he was to cry out and call them to repent of sin, to repent of backslidden condition, and then he was to tell them, we're under judgment. And guess what? Judgment's coming. Because of the sins of Manasseh, and because of the sins of our people, God's through. Jerusalem's going to be destroyed. We're going into captivity for 70 years. And for that message, he was persecuted. He was imprisoned. He was beaten and put in stocks. He is thrown into a cistern, sunk down in the mud. He was called a traitor. He was hated. His own family came against him. People sought to put him to death. But praise the Lord, Jeremiah did not waver, and he would not water down God's word. Praise God. Praise God for people like that. So he heard God's call, answered God's call, and he was obedient and faithful to that call. Obedient and faithful. And he was so burdened by the message that it broke his heart. It broke his heart. He's called the weeping prophet. Chapter 9, verse 1, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes fountains of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people. His own message broke his heart. And he wept. And you know what? There were times when Jeremiah wanted to quit. Did you ever get into God's work and want to quit? He wanted to throw in the towel. He says in chapter 20, verse 9, but if I say I will not remember him or speak any more in his name, then my heart becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary of holding it in, and I cannot endure it. He said, you know what, God? I just want to say, I'm not going to remember you anymore and forget that call. I'm not doing it anymore. But when I do that, in my bones, there's a fire and I can't do it. I cannot fulfill this call on my life. I want to quit, Lord, and I can't do it. I got to tell him. And that word, he'd get into the word as he ministered. Chapter 15, verse 16 says, and thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. As he wept, he rejoiced in the word. And he felt inadequate. He said, I can't, alas, Lord God, I can't do this. But you know, as he ministered in the call, you know what he finally said? In chapter 32, verse 17, Alas, Lord God, thou hast created the heavens and the earth. By thine outstretched arm, by thy great power, nothing's too difficult for you. Did you see that? He says, alas, I can't do it. He looked at himself. He said, I can't do this. And then he kept on looking at God and he said, alas, Lord God, you can. Nothing's too difficult for you. You see, he was overwhelmed here. He was overwhelmed and with the task here. And then he got to know God, and he's overwhelmed with God and the greatness of God. Lord, what I can't do. You see, what God calls us to do, and what I can't do it, Lord. But if he calls us to it, he will fill us and he will do it through us. Nothing's too difficult for the Lord. Nothing. Amen. Nothing. And he learned this as he ministered, and he was faithful to the call. What a God we serve. And I'm going to end with this, but I couldn't help but compare, and I got to be careful here, but to compare Jeremiah with Jesus. As I read through Jeremiah, I saw that both of them were unmarried. Both of them were unmarried. Both were rejected by their hometowns. Jesus was rejected in Nazareth. Jeremiah was rejected in Anathoth. Both were viciously opposed by the religious leaders of the day. Both Jeremiah and Jesus stressed a religion of the heart. Jeremiah said, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. He said over in chapters 31, 33, you know what the problem is? The problem is the heart. The problem is we need a new heart. You know what Jesus said? The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. You people follow me, he said, but your heart is far from me. And Jesus, like Jeremiah said, you know what you need? You need a new heart. Both Jeremiah and Jesus wept over Jerusalem. They both wept over Jerusalem. When Jesus cleansed the temple, he says, you guys have made my father's house a den of thieves. He quoted right out of Jeremiah 7:11. Oh, I see a picture. I see a kind of a picture, Jeremiah and Jesus. And then I remember that when Jesus said, who do people say that I am? Some say you're John the Baptist, risen from the dead. Others say you're Elijah. And some say you're Jeremiah. Well, folks, Jeremiah responded to his call. And you know what? Jeremiah faithfully and obediently carried out his call for 50 years. And then he was martyred down in Egypt. He died proclaiming the word of God. Jesus received a call from his Father to come down to this world. And you know what? He was faithful and obedient for 33 years. And then he died on the cross, not a martyr. Our Savior. Answering God's call for your life. Lord, we bow before you. And Lord, I thank you that we have been made for a purpose. Not to just kind of spend time down here and then go up to be with you in heaven. Not just to come down here and be born and accumulate stuff and then die and leave it all behind. We have been called to serve you, the living God, formed in the womb for a purpose. Lord, I pray that every one of us in the hearing of this message would hear beyond that message and hear your voice, God, calling, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And Lord, may we respond, here am I, send me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.